Blog Talk Radio.
One, two, one, two. Yeah. Special dedication to my brothers and sisters on the great continent of Africa, the saints in Malawi, Ghana, Nigeria, Kenya, Zimbabwe. Don't be deceived by what America's sending y'all,
yeah,
man.
Let me begin. While there's still ink left in my pen, I'm set to contend. For truth, you can bet will offend. Deception within. The church, man, who's letting them in. We talked about this years ago. Let's address it again. Yeah. And I ain't really trying to start beef. But some who claim to be part of the sheep got some sharp teeth.
Yeah,
it cast it mean when you criticize them. But Jesus told us, Matthew 7:16, we can recognize them. And God forbid that for the love of some fans, I keep quiet and watch them die with their blood on my hands. So there's nothing left for me to do except to speak to you in the spirit of Jude 3 and 2 Peter 2. And I know that some will label me a Pharisee, because today the only heresy is saying that this heresy. I dare to be specific and drop some clarity on the popularity of the gospel of prosperity. Turn off TBN, that channel is overrated. The pastors speak bogus statements, financially motivated. It's kind of like a pyramid scheme. Visualize heretics Christianizing the American dream. It's foul and deceitful, they're lying to people. Teaching that camels squeeze through the eye of a needle. Ungodly and wicked, ask yourself, how can they not be convicted? Treating Jesus like a lottery ticket. And you're thinking they're not the dangerous type, because some of the statements are right. That only proves that Satan comes as an angel of light. This teaching can't be believed without a cost. The lie is you can achieve a crown without a cross. And I hear it all the time when they speak on the block. Even unbelievers are shocked how they're fleecing the flock. It should be obvious then. Yeah, I'll explain why it's sin. Peep the Bible, it's in 1 Timothy 6:9-10. It talks about how the desire for riches has left many souls on fire in stitches, mired in ditches. Tell me, who would teach you to pursue as a goal the very thing that the Bible says will ruin your soul, huh? Yet they're encouraging the love of money. To make it worse, they've exported this garbage into other countries. My heart breaks even now as I'm rhyming. You want to know what all false teachers have in common?
What?
It's called selfism, the fastest growing religion. They just dress it up and call it Christian. Don't be deceived by this funny biz. If you come to Jesus for money, then he's not your God.
Money is.
Jesus is not a means to an end.
No.
The gospel is he came to redeem us from sin. And that is the message
forever
I'll yell. Down. If you're living your best life now, you're headed for hell.
Talk to him.
Joe Osteen.
False teacher.
Let him know.
Crackle Dollar is a false teacher.
Well.
Benny Hinn is a false teacher.
I know they're popular, but don't let them deceive ya.
Talk to him.
T.D. Jakes is a false teacher.
Tell the truth.
Joyce Meyer is a false teacher.
Let him know.
Paula White is a false teacher.
Use your discernment, let the Bible lead ya.
Keep going.
Fred Price is a false teacher.
Tell the truth.
Kenneth Copeland is a false teacher.
Well.
Robert Tilton is a false teacher.
I know they're popular, but don't let them deceive ya.
Talk to them.
Eddie Long is a false teacher.
Let them know.
Juanita Bynum is a false teacher.
Well.
Paul Krause is a false teacher.
Use your discernment, let the Bible lead ya.
But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. 2 Peter 2, 1 through 3.
Good afternoon, dear saints of God, and welcome to another edition of Contending for the Faith with yours truly, Radio Reformer. And I'm back in studio to re-record that broadcast that I did about a couple of weeks ago. And Blog Talk Radio only recorded 8 minutes of it. So we're back in studio to do it once again. And we keep our fingers crossed, hoping that the entire show, the entire broadcast, would be put up in its entirety for your benefit, for your edification. And we're talking about to Metatron or not to Metatron. That is the question. There's a battle waging in the church. It's a theological battle. It's a doctrinal battle. It's a spiritual battle taking place. People of God and what I suspect are either people who had departed from the faith or satanic plants acting as believers. And this is what the battle is all about. And I'm having a hard time with my speaking. I do a lot of talking, and as a result, I struggle many times to get a show done. I have my tea here with me, so just bear with me, saints, bear with me. But we have some in the church who claim to be Christian apologists, who are peddling the notion, and of course the notion is completely false and scripturally unfounded, that when witnessing to the Jews, one can point to a figure in their literature, in Jewish literature, known as the Metatron, and one can make the connection, one can safely say that the Metatron of the Kabbalah, the Metatron of the Talmuds, the Metatron of the Zohar, the Metatron of Judaism, is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ of the Old and New Testament. To that we say hogwash. To that we say baloney. To that we say pack of lies. To that we say no way, Jose. We're not buying it, and I've already done four shows telling you why. Now, today I want to talk to you about St. Paul. Many listening to me will say, listen to this Gentile. This Gentile has no business telling us or lecturing us on Metatron. He's not a Jew. He's not of Jewish stock. He doesn't speak fluid Hebrew. He only has English versions. He doesn't have the Hebrew versions of the Talmud, the Jerusalem Talmud and the Babylonian Talmud, which I don't have Hebrew copies. I only have copies in English. He has no right, no business, no scholarship to be lecturing us on Metatron. He's not a full-blooded Jew or even a half-blooded Jew. His mama ain't Jewish. His daddy ain't Jewish. He's not Jewish. He's never been to synagogue, which I haven't. He's never studied in a yeshiva. I haven't. No, I've never been to synagogue. I've never been to synagogue. Never. And they're right when they say all that. Therefore, he is disqualified, this Gentile, this fool is disqualified from lecturing us on the Metatron. Now, again, that's baloney. That's just absurd. But that said, I do have somebody I know who is a Hebrew of Hebrews, a Pharisee at that, circumcised on the eighth day. Has all the pedigree you can imagine to defend against this crazy notion that Jesus is the Metatron. And we're going to take his word for it. And they're right. Listen, I'm not Jewish. I never said I was Jewish. I never said that I spoke fluent Hebrew. I can't even pray in Hebrew, as some of these proponents of Metatron can. You know, I don't live in Israel. I don't live in Jerusalem. They're right. In fact, not only do I not live in Jerusalem, not only do I not live in Israel, I've never been to Jerusalem. Never been to Israel. I was asked many times, would you like to go? And I really said, not really. Israel, if you ask me, would you like to go to London or Jerusalem? If you gave me 100 trips if you said you have 100 trips, London or Jerusalem, 50-50, no. London or Jerusalem, 75-25, I would say no. If you ask me, I would go to London 100% of the time. I have no interest. And mind you, I've had many, many, many countless opportunities to go to Israel. Never wanted to go, never interested me. Never. Now, I am a big reader on biblical archaeology. For years, since the early 80s, I have been a subscriber of the Biblical Archaeology Review magazine. I've had that subscription since the early 1980s. I got boxes and boxes of that magazine, archaeology magazine. I had opportunities to sign up for a summer course to go on digs as a student. Never went. Even though I am listen, when it comes to archaeology, big fan of archaeology. Big fan. Like I said, I have boxes and boxes and boxes to prove how I've collected that magazine since the 1980s. In fact, I can even track where I lived and when based on that magazine subscription, because they always put the address on the magazine, and I can tell you where I lived in 1982. Just by looking at those magazines, I can tell you where I lived in the 1990s. I can tell you why, because they would mail it to your address, and those tags, those stickers, mailing address stickers, are still on the magazines. If I ever want to remember where I lived and when, go to my boxes where I have Biblical Archaeology Review. So I've had many opportunities to go on digs, to do conferences, and I've always said, not really. Jerusalem never attracted me, never had an attraction. So you're right, I don't speak Hebrew, I don't speak Yiddish, I don't eat Jewish food. I remember one time in New York City, down in Delancey Street, I was starving. I was down in this Jewish section called Delancey Street. I was starving, entered into a Jewish restaurant, and the only thing I can identify on the menu was mushroom soup. They served it to me. I took 5 tablespoons of that. And said, no, thank you, paid my bill, and walked away. The one time I ate in a Jewish place, down in Delancey Street in New York City. I lived by Hasidic Jews over there in an area called Sunset Park, Brooklyn, over by my Maimonides Hospital there on 11th Avenue. There's Jews everywhere there, Jews, with the curls and the hats and the outfits, the long coats, all that. The women with the wigs, all that. So I'm pretty familiar with Jewish people. However, I'm not Jewish. My mama isn't Jewish. My daddy's not Jewish. As far as I can tell, there's no Jew in my family tree. But that's not a knock on me, because I have the scriptures, and the scriptures are all sufficient. But that having been said, there are people who are going to say, well, he's not qualified to debate me. And you're right, I'm not qualified in your warped mind to debate you. I'm not because I can't check off the boxes that you want me to check off. And that's okay. But I do have someone who could debate you. And he will take you to the woodshed in debating you. And his name is the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul. Now, I've already presented to you other biblical authors, other biblical apostles, who dismantled and completely destroyed the Metatron argument. No, Jesus is not Metatron. He's not. Metatron is a demon, if not Satan. And Metatron is the creation of warped minds, either. Unregenerate men created Metatron, or Metatron, the name Metatron, and the idea of Metatron, and the so-called ministry of Metatron was whispered into the ears of unsaved, unregenerate men by demons. And that's how Metatron came into existence. But Jesus is not Metatron, never was, never will be. And that can be easily proven because the scriptures are all sufficient. Like I said, I have copies for a Gentile, for a Goyim. I have a very exclusive and extensive Judaica library. It's massive. My works on Judaism are massive. That said, I don't have the Hebrew copies. I have the English copies. Well, that's no good because you lose something in translation. See, I know all their arguments already. You don't have a Hebrew copy. But wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. That doesn't even make sense because even the English translations, you see, when you take the Talmud that was written down in Hebrew, and you're boasting that you have the Hebrew copies and not the English copies, but why are you knocking the English copies? Because it was the Jewish publishing houses that did the translation from Hebrew into English. So if you're knocking anybody, you're not knocking me, you're knocking the Jewish publishing houses who, in your mind, must have not done a good job. So there you go. There you go. So let's look at the Apostle Paul. The first question we have to ask about the Apostle Paul is, did he have a burden? Did the Apostle Paul have a burden for Jewish people? Did the Apostle Paul have a burden? Was he passionate about soul winning to Jews? Well, the obvious answer is yes. This is what he says in Romans chapter 9. In case, if you doubted that Paul had a burden to see his countrymen saved, this is what it says in Romans chapter 9. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I wish I could be accursed myself from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. He says, listen, I have a burden for my people. The Jewish people, the Hebrew people, are Paul's people. He has a burden. And he says, listen, I bring Christ to witness. I bring the Holy Spirit to witness to prove to you that this is true. I'm not lying to you. When I tell you I have a burden for Jewish people, I have a burden to see them get saved. So that checks off one box. Does the Apostle Paul have a burden? Yes, he did. Number two, does the Apostle Paul have the pedigree? Does he have the pedigree? Is he of the racial stock? Now, again, I told you I can't debate this because those that I would like to debate will throw it up in my face that I'm not Jewish. Okay, all right. If that disqualifies me, then I guess I'm disqualified. But that doesn't disqualify the Apostle Paul because in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 22, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 22 says, he says, are these false teachers Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they of the seed of Abraham? So am I. See, again, you can knock me. You can knock me for not being Hebrew of the seed of Abraham, for not being an Israelite. But you can't knock Paul. And you can probably doubt, if I have a burden for Jewish people, you can probably, well, when was the last time you went and witnessed to Jews? And I have to tell you, it's been probably a couple of decades. I'm being honest now. You see, you don't have a burden for the Jewish people. Why are you even involved in this Metatron controversy? Well, just because I haven't witnessed to them in 20 years is because I don't live around any Jews. I don't live. Now, when I lived in Brooklyn, when I lived in Sunset Park, Brooklyn, when I lived in Prospect Park, Brooklyn, when I lived in Park Slope, Brooklyn, when I lived in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn, that's right, Sunset Park, Bay Ridge, Park Slope, when I lived in those areas, then I could tell you I did witness. But there are no Jews where I'm at now. I'm in the sticks. Yeah, now, just because, listen, Jews and Amish people are not the same. The Jews wear hats, Amish people wear hats. The Jews have curls, Amish people have curls. But they're not the same. They're not the same. And Amish would argue that they are followers of Christ. So, there are no Jews around here. So, it's been a couple of decades. But you see, that will be thrown in my face. You don't have a burden for them. And you don't know what you're talking about, you Gentile. You are not an Israelite. You're not of the seed of Abraham. You don't know our culture. You don't have the ethnic pedigree to get into the ring with me and debate these things out. See, those are the straw man arguments that they will use. Okay, that's fine. But you can't use that against Paul. So notice, Paul have a burden? Yes. Was Paul a Hebrew of Hebrews? Yes. Okay. Now, does he have the education? Because they'll say, well, you weren't trained in synagogue. Yeah, you didn't go to a yeshiva. Who are you? Who are you? Well, let's read about the Apostle Paul. He says, starting in Philippians chapter 3, verse 4, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man thinketh that he have whereof he might trust in the flesh, I the more. I was circumcised the eighth day, which is a Jewish requirement, by the way. I am of the stock of Israel. I am of the tribe of Benjamin. I am a Hebrew of Hebrews. And as touching the law, I was schooled as a Pharisee. There's a schooling. Concerning zeal, I persecuted the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, I was blameless. But what things were gained to me in that life, those I count loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. In verse 9 says, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is in the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So notice. In verse 7, he mentions Christ. In verse 8, he mentions Christ twice. In verse 9, he mentions Christ again. So in three verses, in Philippians 3, 7, 8, and 9, in those three verses, he mentions Christ four times. Never does he mix it up. Never does he say, not once does he say Metatron. Not once. So did Paul have a genuine burden for Jewish evangelism? Yes. This is witnessed by Christ and the Holy Spirit. Did Paul have the right pedigree? Was he of the right stock? Oh, yes. Is he a Hebrew? So is he. Is he an Israelite? So is he. Is he of the seed of Abraham? So is he. That's 2 Corinthians 11:22. And does he have the education? Well, yeah, he's a Pharisee. A trained Pharisee. Not just a trained, not just a theoretical Pharisee, but he was also a practical Pharisee, of putting what he preached into practice. That's that. He was a practicing Pharisee. So I think Paul qualifies. I think he qualifies. Okay. Having given you those three scriptures, again, Romans chapter 9, 2 Corinthians 11, 22, and Philippians 3, I want to go back to Romans again. Romans chapter 10, in case anyone doubts that Paul had the burden. Again, in the book of Romans, Paul tells us that he has a burden to see Jewish people saved. Not only did he say it in Romans 9, verses 1, 2, and 3, but he reiterates the same in chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. He says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God is that Israel might be saved." That's my prayer. My prayer is that the Jews might be saved. "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ, not Metatron, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." Christ. Not Metatron. "My heart's desire and prayer to God is that Israel might be saved." I think Paul had a burden for Jewish people. He constantly mentions this burden. It's no secret he has a burden for the Jewish people. He keeps telling us he has a burden for them. He keeps putting it in paper. He keeps putting it in print. Not only does he say it, he writes it. And you can feel his passion to see his people saved. He's got a passion. He's got a passion for Jewish evangelism, but what's going to blow your mind is that he never mentions Metatron. In witnessing to Jewish people, the Apostle Paul never brings up Metatron. Never inserts the name Metatron in place of Christ, not once. Like I just showed you in Philippians, where four times in three verses, he mentions Christ. You know, when you take a course on creative writing, the professor always tells you, you know, don't be redundant. Don't use the same name. Try to mix it up a little bit. Well, Paul was quite redundant. I guess he didn't take the course because in three verses, he mentions Christ four times. Four times. Not one. If Jesus was Metatron, he could have put Metatron in one of those instances, but he doesn't. Why not? Well, because Jesus is not Metatron. And when witnessing to Jews, you should never mention Metatron. Metatron is a demon, and Christ and a demon are not the same. All right, so let's look at Paul's conversion. Let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Here's the Apostle Paul in his conversion, and I'm going to play the audio Bible version of this, because what I need to do is I need to break up Acts chapter 9 into three different segments. We're first going to read from Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 18. That's the first portion. I've divided Acts 9 into three sections. This is section 1, which talks about Jesus meeting Saul of Tarsus, who later becomes Paul, how Jesus meets Saul of Tarsus, on the road to Damascus. So we're going to read from Acts 9, verse 1 through 18 first.
Chapter 9. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the bricks.
So here we have Saul's conversion from Phariseeism, from Judaism, to becoming a follower of Christ. So when Saul is knocked off the horse and he hears the voice, he says, Who art thou, Lord? Who art thou, Kurios? And the Lord and Kurios answered and said, I am Jesus. Never says he's Metatron. You would think that if Jesus is evangelizing a Jew, because Saul of Tarsus is a Jew, we saw he's of the seed of Abraham, he's of the tribe of Benjamin, he's a Hebrew of Hebrews, he's an Israelite. I mean, he's not half Jewish. He's not Jewish through his daddy and Gentile through his mama. No, he's completely Jewish. And Jesus reaches out to him. So in this case, when Jesus is reaching Saul of Tarsus, this would fall under the category of Jewish evangelism. That's what this would fall under. Jewish evangelism. How do you evangelize a Jew? Well, let's see how Jesus did it. What did Jesus do? Did Jesus say, hey, listen, they call me Jesus over here, but I'm really the Metatron. I didn't know that. Now, I'll accept you as my Lord and Savior. No, Jesus never mentions me. He never says, I'm the Metatron. He says, I am Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth. That's who I am. That's who the Lord says he is. Never mentions Metatron. But let's continue. Let's continue reading.
And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus, named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will shew him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way, and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight, and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes, as it had been, scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized.
All right, so let's focus on verse 17. Ananias went his way on the behest of Jesus and entered into the house where Saul was, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Metatron that appeared unto thee in the way that you came hath sent me that you may receive your sight. Is that what it says? No. It says, and the Lord, even Jesus. So Jesus is doing Jewish evangelism, and he never uses Metatron. He uses his name Jesus. And here Ananias is completing Jewish evangelism, and he says, listen, I'm here on behest. I'm here on behalf of the Lord Jesus. Never says the Lord Metatron. Never. Wow. So, I mean, Jesus is doing Jewish evangelism. The man that he's bringing unto himself, the man that he's drawing unto himself, is Saul of Tarsus, a Hebrew of Hebrew, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin, circumcised the 8th day, trained as a Pharisee, concerning the law, righteous. And what does Jesus call himself? Metatron? Mm-mm, Jesus. What does Ananias call the Lord? He calls him Jesus. And yet, the use of Metatron, without the use of that name, they never, both Jesus and Ananias never mentioned Metatron, and yet Saul is saved. It just goes to show you, you don't need to mention Metatron to get Jewish people saved. Jesus never mentioned Metatron, and Saul, the Jew, got saved. Ananias never mentioned Metatron. Okay. Moving along. Let's look now at verse number 19, from verse 19 to 22, because here Paul, or Saul, in this early stage of the narrative, he's still Saul, we want to hear him preach his first sermon. This is Saul now, who was saved by Jesus's way of doing Jewish evangelism. Now this Saul is going to do Jewish evangelism from verses 19 through 22. Let's see if he mentions Metatron. Let's see. It just might be that Metatron might be here in Acts 19 through 22. Let's find out.
And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God.
Look at verse 20. And straightway he, Saul, preached Christ, not Metatron, preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. He never said, listen, this Christ, this Jesus is the Metatron. Never said that. That's his first series of sermons. That's his first preaching campaign, if you will. Never mentions, no mention of Metatron. Nowhere. Now remember, if anyone has a burden for Jewish people, it's Saul. If anyone has the right pedigree, he's a Hebrew of Hebrew. He's not a half Hebrew or a quarter Hebrew or a make-believe Hebrew or a fabricated Hebrew. He's a Hebrew. He's of the right stock. And yet, he preaches Christ, and that this Christ is the Son of God. Well, let's read verse 21 and 22.
But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt in Damascus, proving that this is very Christ.
There you go. The name here. See, it says in verse 21, But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name. Singular, singular, what name? The name of Jesus, never Metatron. It's not plural, not who preached in these names. No, it's singular, in the name of Jesus. And verse 22, and Saul increased the more and more in strength and confounded the Jews, because that was his audience, which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. That's what he did. No mention of Metatron. All right, let's read the third section. Let's read from verses 23 through 30. Let's continue to read verses 23 through 30, which is the next section of narrative.
And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus.
What name did Paul use when he preached boldly in Damascus? The name of Jesus, not Metatron. Again, Barnabas is testifying to the Jews at the Jerusalem church, this guy has been preaching boldly. And he's preaching boldly in the name of Jesus. No mention of Metatron. Shall we proceed?
And he was with them, coming in and going out at Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. Which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus.
There you go. So again in verse number 29, and he, referring to Saul, spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus. So at his conversion, he meets Jesus. And when he goes on his first preaching campaigns, all he's preaching is Jesus. Well, he's a new convert. He doesn't know any better. His theology isn't expanded yet. He just doesn't know any better. He doesn't know that Jesus isn't the Metatron. He hasn't been to seminary yet. Well, let's see what Paul did later on in life. When he matured as a minister. Okay, let's go to Acts 17. Let's see if his tune changes. You know, as we age, we get better. As we do something more, you get better at it. Practice makes perfect. Okay, let's read here in Acts 17. This is Paul's second missionary journey. We didn't even bother to look at the first journey. Let's just look at the second missionary journey. And here in Acts 17, verse 1, now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica. Where did they come to? They came to Thessalonica. And when they came to Thessalonica, there was a synagogue of whom? There was a synagogue of the Jews. And there was a synagogue of the Jews, and Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must need have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is whom? Christ. No mention of Metatron. my dear brothers and sisters, not a mention of Metatron. Let us go to chapter 18. Moving from Thessalonica, he comes to Corinth. It says in chapter 18, verse 1, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila and his born in Pontus, and lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and he came unto them. And because they were of the same craft, he abode with them and worked, for they were of the same occupation. They were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. That's what he did. What did he do? He persuaded. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ, not Metatron, that Jesus. Jesus rolls off my tongue better than Metatron. And Jesus. That's the way they say it in the black church. And Jesus was Christ. That's it. Let's go to Acts 21. Paul here is being arrested. Acts 21, verse 39 and 40. This will set it up for us. But Paul, now he went from Saul to Paul, but Paul said, I am a man, which am a Jew of Tarsus in the city of Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city, and I beseech thee, suffer me to speak unto the people. And when they had given Paul permission, he stood on the stairs, beckoned with his hands unto the people, and when there was made a great silence, he spake unto them in the Hebrew tongue, saying, now I can't do that. See, I have to admit, I can't do that. Those who don't want me to debate Metatron with them will say, well, you're not fluent in Hebrew. And they're right. I couldn't do what Paul just did. But I don't have to. He did already. I don't have to feel less than, because I don't speak Hebrew. I don't have to feel less than. Okay, so now, in verse 22, let's read what he says in verse number 22. So let's go there. Go to Acts 22. I'm going to pull up the audio Bible since I'm having issues with my throat yet again. Here's Acts 22, starting at verse 1, and we'll continue to read 22:1. Acts 22:1, and let's. This is Paul doing Jewish evangelism again. Paul doing Jewish. Let's see if he mentions Metatron.
Chapter 22. Men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense which I make now unto you. And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence. And he saith, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born of Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day.
Wow, what credentials. He spoke to them in Hebrew, verse 2, which I can't do. He's a Jew, which I am not. Born in Tarsus, which I was not. I was born in Brooklyn, New York, over there at Long Island College Hospital, off of Atlantic Avenue. So, again, born in Tarsus, sat at the feet of Gamaliel, concerning the law perfect, and was zealous towards God, like his father was all the days of his life, until Christ met him. What a pedigree.
And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. And also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished.
Not only was he of the right stock and spoke the right language and had the right education sitting at the feet of Gamaliel, he was well connected. This guy used to get letters of authority from the high priest. Even the high priest, the Jewish high priest, can vouch for these things that he's saying. Now, there are some people out there, defenders of Metatron, and that Metatron is Christ, and they won't fork over any documents telling us if they're really Jewish or not. I hear crickets now. Crickets. This guy says, there are people who can vouch for everything I am saying. We have these Metatron proponents today, people preaching that Christ and Metatron are one and the same, and no one can vouch for them. They are suspect in everything that they say. Suspect. Suspect. Let's continue.
And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do.
There you go. I am Jesus of Nazareth. Again, I am Jesus of Nazareth. He's referring back to his testimony. You know, one of the greatest things we can use in soul winning is our personal testimony. I remember as a new convert, and we used to go out and give tracts, and I would say to the guy who would lead us going into the subway to give out tracts or lead us to do street witnessing, well, what do I do when they ask me the hard questions? Well, I don't know a lot of Bible. He says, give them your testimony. Tell them what Jesus did for you. I wasn't talking about Metatron. I was talking about Jesus. I had no encounter with Metatron. I know what Jesus did for me. How he saved my soul. How he pulled me out of the miry clay. Let's continue to... we can skip this. Well, let's read up to verse number. Let's read up to verse number. I'll stop it, but let's continue now. Let's continue here. We're still in chapter 22.
When I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus, and one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him, and he said, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance, and saw him saying unto me, Make haste, and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by, and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, Depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. And they gave him audience unto his word, and then lifted up their voices and said, Away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live.
So notice, during this preaching opportunity, because he was arrested in the temple, and then he beckoned with his hands and asked permission, and he began to speak in Hebrew, and the people gave him audience. But notice, not one of these Jews got saved because Paul was preaching Jesus. And for the Jews, they hate Jesus of Nazareth. But he wouldn't change it. Why didn't he use another name? One more palatable. Why didn't Paul use another name that the Jews could easily swallow? Why? Well, because there is no other name given unto men whereby they might be saved. His name is Jesus, not Metatron. And that's why we don't use Metatron. There's only one name given unto men. Whereby? One name. Not 10, not 15. One name given unto men whereby they might be saved. The name of Jesus. That's crystal clear. Crystal clear. Here you come talking about Metatron. It's the wrong name. The wrong name. Wrong name. Okay. Let's move on to Acts 26. Let's move along. Because here Paul is going to preach to a mixed audience. There's a Jew and there's some Gentiles. Let's see how Paul reaches out to the Jew in the audience he is preaching to. And this person here, who is part Jew, this part Jew here is Agrippa, the grandson of Herod the Great. Acts 26, starting at verse 1, Paul is in court giving a defense of his ministry. Here he is.
Chapter 26. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Thou art permitted to speak for thyself. And Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently.
Now notice, Paul knows his audience. He knows that King Agrippa is well-versed, well-schooled in the cultural background and in the religious teachings of the Jews. So he says, listen, I know you're well-acquainted. That makes me happy. Because now I can do some Jewish evangelism. Okay, let's proceed.
My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify, that after the most straitest sect of our religion I lived, a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I...
Notice he says, I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Never mentions Metatron. There's only one name given unto men whereby they might be saved, both Jew and Gentile. That's verse 9. Let us proceed to verse 10 and following.
I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but shewed first unto them of Damascus and of Jerusalem, and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple, and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should shew light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad.
So here, based on this Gentile governor, Festus, as he hears Paul preaching, he gets up, he interrupts his sermon, and he says, much learning have made you crazy. They know Paul has much learning. This is not an ignorant man here speaking. This is a man who has much learning. And he's preaching Christ. He's preaching the resurrection. He's not preaching Metatron. He's preaching Christ and the resurrection from the dead. And Festus can't take it anymore. And he says, much learning, much schooling. Hitting the books. Researching. Meditating, contemplating. Reasoning. Have made you mad. You're crazy. All of this learning has resulted in you becoming crazy. You're out of your mind. And Paul again now defends himself. Let's listen, verse 25.
But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest.
Now notice what Paul says. He says, King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? He doesn't say, do you believe the Talmud? Do you believe the Zohar? Do you believe the Kabbalah? No. Do you believe the Kabbalah in its embryonic form? Do you believe in the Zohar, the Talmud, Talmudic literature? King Agrippa. No, he says, do you believe the prophets? In other words, do you believe the scriptures? Do you believe Isaiah? Do you believe Zechariah? Do you believe Malachi? Do you believe Daniel? Do you believe the prophets? Because that's where you're going to find Jesus. If you're looking for Jesus in the Zohar, if you're looking for Jesus in the Kabbalah, if you're looking for Jesus in the Talmud, you're not going to find him. What you're going to find is Metatron. And Metatron and Jesus are not the same. Jesus is God. Metatron is a demon. You'll find the witness of one in Holy Scripture, and you'll find the witness of others in a compilation of doctrines of demons. But let's continue to listen to Paul's argument.
Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds.
See, Agrippa says, you almost converted me. You almost made me a follower of Christ. Almost. Not going to happen. I don't want Jesus. But you almost, your arguments were so persuasive that you almost had me come up in front of everybody and accept Jesus. My brothers and sisters, Paul the Hebrew, Paul of the seed of Abraham, Paul of the tribe of Benjamin, Paul the Israelite, Paul the apostle to the Gentiles, when preaching to the Jews, never mentions Metatron. Like Isaiah, and like Zechariah, and like Matthew, the former tax collector turned apostle. Like Peter, like the author of Hebrews, Paul never mentions Metatron, the most celebrated Jewish scholar of his day. The most celebrated Jewish scholar of his day, who is in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, never mentions Metatron. So there you have it, my brothers and sisters. There's another simple argument proving that Jesus is not Metatron. And that if someone comes and tells you that baloney, you ought to tell them, no thank you. I'll be back on Thursday to do another show. Of course, Brother Nathaniel is going to be in studio tomorrow. Sister Marie is going to be in studio on Tuesday. Sister AJ is going to be on studio on Wednesday. And I'll be back in studio on Thursday. Until then, keep preaching Jesus and keep living holy. Love you. God bless you.
1, 2, 1, 2. Yeah. Special dedication to my brothers and sisters on the great continent of Africa. The saints in Malawi, Ghana, Nigeria, Kenya, Zimbabwe. Don't be deceived by what America's sending y'all,
yeah,
man.
Let me begin. While there's still ink left in my pen, I'm set to contend. For truth, you can bet will offend. Deception within. The church, man, who's letting them in. We talked about this years ago. Let's address it again.
Yeah.
And I ain't really trying to start beef. But some who claim to be part of the sheep got some sharp teeth.
Yeah,
it cast it mean when you criticize them. But Jesus told us, Matthew 7:16, we can recognize them. And God forbid that for the love of some fans, I keep quiet and watch them die with their blood on my hands. So there's nothing left for me to do except to speak to you in the spirit of Jude 3 and 2 Peter 2. And I know that some will label me a Pharisee, because today the only heresy is saying that this heresy. I'll dare to be specific and drop some clarity on the popularity of the gospel of prosperity. Turn off TBN, that channel is overrated. The pastors speak bogus statements, financially motivated. It's kind of like a pyramid scheme. Visualize heretics Christianizing the American dream. It's foul and deceitful, they're lying to people, teaching that camels squeeze through the eye of a needle. Ungodly and wicked, ask yourself, how can they not be convicted? Treating Jesus like a lottery ticket. And you're thinking they're not the dangerous type, because some of the statements are right. That only proves that Satan comes as an angel of light. This teaching can't be believed without a cost. The lie is you can achieve a crown without a cross. And I hear it all the time when they speak on the block. Even unbelievers are shocked how they're fleecing the flock. It should be obvious then. Yeah, I'll explain why it's sin. Peep the Bible, it's in 1 Timothy 6:9-10. It talks about how the desire for riches has left many souls on fire in stitches, mired in ditches. Tell me, who would teach you to pursue as a goal the very thing that the Bible says will ruin your soul, huh? Yet they're encouraging the love of money. To make it worse, they've exported this garbage into other countries. My heart breaks even now as I'm rhyming. You want to know what all false teachers have in common?
What?
It's called selfism, the fastest growing religion. They just dress it up and call it Christian. Don't be deceived by this funny biz. If you come to Jesus for money, then he's not your God.
Money is.
Jesus is not a means to an end.
No.
The gospel is he came to redeem us from sin. And that is the message forever I'll yell. If you're living your best life now, you're headed for hell.
Talk to him.
Joe Osteen.
False teacher.
Let him know.
Crackle Dollar is a false teacher.
12-12.
Benny Hinn is a
false teacher.
I know they're popular, but don't let them deceive ya.
Talk to him.
False teacher.
Tell the truth.
Kenneth Copeland is a
false teacher.
12-12.
Robert Tilton is a
false teacher.
sermon, let the Bible lead ya.
But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. 2 Peter 2, 1-3.